all the games I used to play in my younger, wilder days, the game of clubs and tees.
Welcome into the Turner Fantasy Golf Podcast. I'm Andrew Petters. I got my buddy Joe Nicely here with me from Rotoballer.com. Joe, before we get anything, give a shout out to Rotoballer.com and what you all have going on over there right now.
Yeah, man, we're building an amazing team over there with really tremendous content slate. I hope you go to Rotoballer.com, check that out. We have tons of free stuff that we hope you'll look at every week, but we also have three different tiers of PGA premium offerings that we started new for 2023. Got last year's FSWA Golf Writer of the Year, Spencer Aguiar, over there. And this year's nominee for FSWA Golf Writer of the Year, Byron Lindekew, the Model Maniac. So just an unbelievable all-star crew over there. So head to rotoballer.com, check out the different pricing tiers, see what works for you. Use our promo code TURN, T-U-R-N, and you'll get 10% off.
There you go, rotoballer.com, best place in the world for your daily fantasy needs. Joe, let's talk AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. First of all, before we get into that, let's actually, what is your thoughts on the PGA Tour app these days? They have made quite a few changes. Instead of just going full-blown negative like we usually do on this subject, I'll throw out, first of all, I'm happy that there was some changes. Obviously, we're looking forward to many, many more. It does seem like there's some pretty decent time between clicking on something and it getting there. But Joe, first and foremost, what's your thoughts on the PGA Tour app?
Yeah, it's a huge improvement, man. I mean, I think it's something we've talked about on this show over the years. I know I've complained about tons of times over the last few years, and it's a big improvement. I mean, I still think there's, you know, some room to go. We've kind of seen what's possible and probably got a little bit spoiled by the Masters app. But I think the PGA Tour has definitely made a step in the right direction with the app this year. So I'm real pleased with it, man. Well, what are your thoughts on it? I know you watch a lot on your phone and the app and stuff.
Yeah. I'm probably more on the app side than you are. So I'm happy with the part of move start. The negative parts is you click on TourCast, it takes about 2.5 minutes to get there.
Yeah.
It's scrolling. So that's number one. That's number one negative. I wish there was more clips on there. I know that probably is very time consuming and probably not automated. So, you know, clipping the shots out and putting them on there would be pretty cool on the back end. If they could do that, you know, I'm not saying do it live, but you know, an hour later it clips up, you know, if you want to see what the heck happened to my guy on 15? How do you make double? And you get to watch the clip. But I like all the new information. It's pretty, like I said, it's a lot better than it has been. It seems like it's been a decade since it's been updated. Also, I'm pretty happy with the ESPN Plus stuff. My first real big experience on that, you know me, I work nights a lot and sometimes we'll have a minute or at least be able to have something playing in the background. And I used to do the Twitter was doing the free hour and a half every Thursday and Friday. I did that for a while. And then the ESPN Plus thing is pretty good. I mean, better than nothing, I see. Though me and you both know that there are several people like us that would pay a yearly membership to get top to bottom coverage. And I don't know what that model looks like long term, but I think I'm happy with the ESPN Plus so far. You know, with the holes and fall in the two or three, you know, the two to four groups.
Yeah.
Early on.
I think you're right. I think the ESPN Plus has been good the last couple of years. It just still feels too hard, man. It still feels too hard to figure out where to watch, when to watch. You're going, you know, ESPN Plus here. We hadn't got into the Peacock stuff yet, but I mean, you know,
it still feels funny you say that. It was Peacock Monday. Monday was Peacock.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't even watch the Monday finish this week. I was just hit the eject button on Pebble. But yeah, just still feels a little bit too hard, harder than it should be, instead of kind of having it all in one place. But you know, that's, you know, there's contracts. I don't know how much we can do about that, to be honest.
Yeah. Really. Also, on that subject, Friday, I think it was. They called it Saturday, right? Was Saturday the short day?
Saturday was a short day.
Okay. Yeah, so Friday.
Sunday they tried to squeeze in as much as they could.
Friday they covered from 3 to 6 on the golf channel, right? There was 7 people in the top 10 still on the golf course. And they're like, okay, that'll be it for today. We'll talk to y'all later.
Yeah.
I'm like, what in the world is going on? We got to know about this West. I mean, I feel like, especially on the East Coast, most of viewers across on any sport is going to be East Coast related, right? So if that's true, you would think we could have extended coverage for these West Coast stuff for the guys like us. I mean, I feel like we're probably not saying the fantasy guys. I'm talking about your 35 to 45 range, 55 range is probably their core viewer. And you would think that they would do everything they can to capture or your needs as far as the golf viewership. Yeah, that's probably something. Well, I mean, you mentioned that, I think, a couple weeks ago, Thursday round, they, you know, the leaders, like, you got 2 holes to go, and they ended the coverage. Just wild. Yeah. So,
yeah, it's just a never-ending battle, man. Hopefully this week, I mean, we're here to talk about the Waste Management Phoenix Open. We'll dive into it. This is a huge event. It gets bigger and better every year. This year, it's designated, elevated status, both, one or the other, whatever. 18 of the top 20 players in the world here. Huge money. This is the first of these types of events, which is something the PGA Tour is doing to combat LIV. This is the first of those we're seeing this year. So all the big boys are here. A lot of eyes on this event. We all know about the 16th hole, the kind of tradition, the unique identity of this tournament. It leads into the Super Bowl. So it looks like AP Thursday, we're going from 9:15 a.m. all the way to 3:30 on ESPN Plus. And I imagine that'll take us into the TV coverage. So hopefully, with this being such a huge event, we'll get some pretty good coverage this week. But man, it's still really spotty on kind of these, you know, we've talked about Pebble a lot, and it just kind of continues to decline, man, unfortunately.
Yeah, I agree. What was your take back of this tournament? The chalk missed the cut for the most part. Maverick McNealy, you had Hovland, Maverick McNealy, Jordan Spieth, Hoagie. There was another big name that missed the cut. Andrew Putnam. So those 5 guys, even Hovland finished, top 10, but probably a massive disappointment, 3 shots off the lead going in the final round on his golf course that he's had uber success on every time he's teed it up, whether it be the U.S. Amateur Champion there, his debut in the U.S. Open, he played well there. The chalk was disappointing last week, which is good for the guys that study the numbers. So what was your thoughts on last weekend? I believe we talked on the phone already a little bit about this, and really the guys that got the Monterey Peninsula draw on Saturday, which is supposed to be your time to eat. It did not. It was very, very unlucky for them. And unfortunately, most of the guys that I had Monterey Peninsula on Saturday. So I was sitting pretty good going into Saturday morning until all heck broke loose. Then they did their best and get done. I think obviously the crews did a fabulous job of keeping the greens healthy enough for them to play and places out there dry. Other than the pro-am side that you just actually despise, Joe, what was your thoughts taking back Justin Rose's first victory in 4 years? Local guy, Peter. If there was ever a time to to be a Tennessee golf fan. It was probably this weekend. Keith Mitchell, Scott Stallings,
Peter Mountain. Big week for the boys.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was your thoughts? What's your take back on the AT&T?
It is what it is, man. Spent a lot of time talking about it last week. We knew going in there were a lot. It's a tournament with a lot of variables. You mentioned the Pro-Am format, which is, you know, is what it is. The three-course rotation, which you can get lucky or unlucky with. The weather, which also plays a big part. And we saw kind of all those dynamics come into play last week. So, it, you know, it's one of those things where we knew going in, it's probably not a great spot for cash game players, single entry type guys, chalkier top bills, very weak field. And that's kind of how it played out, man, even more so as the week progressed. But a good win by Justin Rose, a guy that I honestly can't believe didn't go to live. Honestly can't believe Rose is still playing on the PGA Tour, but – kind of secures his status into the majors, which I think from reading some of the post-round interviews, that was the biggest concern and kind of probably what kept him on the PGA Tour, access to the major championships. So he's good to go for a couple of years. So a huge win for him, man. And the type of guy that we've seen play well, honestly, at Pebble, a veteran, experienced type of player that's good in wind. A good iron player, just a very solid all-around golfer. We know what type of pedigree Justin Rose has. So, good win by him, and he's been playing a little bit better as of late. So, kind of be one to keep an eye on when the majors roll around.
Yeah, I've actually got him highlighted for the Masters. You know, he's had a success there in years. He plays par fives well. He knows the golf. He's played tons of rounds there. So, you got that. And we're probably going to get a pretty decent price on him. I could see him in the, you know, 75 to 7,800 range when we show up down there. So I'm circling or highlighting Justin Rose for the Masters for sure, especially since maybe he's got some confidence back, you know, that he used to have. You know, never been a big-time prolific winner on tour, but he's been a guy that just a top 10 machine over the years, especially in major championships. Joe, let's get on to the Waste Management Phoenix Open before we get going too far down the line. This golf tournament, Joe, has been around since the beginning of time, 1932. It's had several different names and a ton of great champions here. Most recent name, like we said, the Waste Management Phoenix Open. And that's because it originated in Phoenix, but now it's being held at the TPC Scottsdale. We'll talk more about that in just a second. This is, like you said, big for a few reasons. The history of the whole 16, you know, thousands of people set up at the stadium surrounding. It is also known for the very next hole 17, which is the very, very risk-reward drivable par 4. You know, really, you're going to see maybe five people lay up all week because you can hit driver and three wood and reach the green surface or the putting surface. And there's also some room away from the little pond on the left side of the green. So that's probably one of my favorite holes on the PGA Tour to watch because it's just so exciting. You know, Brooks beat Xander in 2021, and Xander did not capitalize on that hole, and Brooks chipped in. I don't know if you remember that. Not necessarily on that hole, but I remember him chipping in there off the right fringe off a hole right there on the back nine. Scottie Scheffler, defending champion, is in the field. Patrick Cantlay played in it one time. It was last year he was runner-up. We got, let's be honest, Joe, there are similarities with this course where there just seems like the same people succeed on this course year in, year out. Some information about the course, TPC Scottsdale Stadium course was designed in 1986 by Thomas Weisskopf and Jay Morris, renovated in 2014 by Weisskopf. Scapoa and Primo Rye Greens, which is kind of important. We see some carryover in putting statistics from last week to this week. It seems like we do every year. And it's got, you know, some fescue, rye, and poa throughout the whole rest of the golf course. The rough is really not going to be a factor. However, fairways here are not super narrow, but you're also going to see possibly you can't hit really, really bad tee shots, I would say, because you can get some serious trouble if you do that. I left out 7,260-yard par 71, stint meter 12, which is going to be quite a bit faster than last week due to the weather. So tell us real quick, Joe, give us a couple points here on your rundown on anything that stands out about TPC Scottsdale, other than kind of what I've already, the facts I've already laid out there.
Yeah, I guess the thing that stands out the most is that there's not one specific thing that stands out this week. You know, we're coming off a golf course at Pebble Beach where we can kind of circle, hey, these are really tiny greens. It's a very short track. We can kind of dissect what works really well at a golf course like Pebble Beach, whereas TPC Scottsdale, yeah, we've seen some repeat success from guys, but I don't know that there's one stat that you can go to that you want to circle and say, hey, this is going to be the key to this week. Tee to green play, which is kind of a generalization, is what I'll be looking at. Ball striking, I will be looking at course history this week. Because we have seen some guys trend in the right direction consistently over the years at TPC Scottsdale. So the biggest thing is that there's maybe not a big thing this week. It's one of those where, you know, we've got a stack field full of really good golfers. I want to see who's performed well in the past, see who's flashed a little bit of form so far this year, and kind of go from there. Three par fives this week. So the guys won't have four par fives to capitalize on, but as you mentioned, there's a drivable par four that these guys can attack on a few of the days. So it's a really fun golf tournament, man. 16 kind of gets all the pub, but it's a really solid golf course, you know, throughout the card.
Yeah, I like it too. It's exciting, man. You know, I mean, just exciting. That's all you can say. I think the leading up to the tournament's exciting. The 16th green's exciting. The 17th hole, you know, you might see three groups in a row where somebody pull hooks in the water. The next guy hits in the leather. You get to 18, tournaments over, Super Bowl time, baby.
There's maybe no better feeling than having a really good lineup going in this tournament, because, you know, you're sweating your lineups. You're getting ready, kind of tailgating for the Super Bowl, whether you're getting together with friends or partying a little bit. Been fortunate enough to be there a couple times over the years, and it's really fun to have a – if you could pick a handful of tournaments, you'd probably pick the majors, but this would be right up there where you'd really like to have a DFS sweat on Sunday.
Yeah, top three event for me this tournament. So let's get into the DraftKings pricing, Joe, starting with the 10K and above. We got Rom, Rory, Scotty, Tony, and Xander. That's 10K and above right there. I'm not saying you can go wrong by picking anybody in this one, but I mean, we got some heavy hitters here, Joe.
really a major type of field. You know, we could come out and say that this week. We know that we touched on the elevated status that the PGA Tour is kind of lended to this event. So you know, the stars are out this week, man. This is a major championship like salary scale with the depth.
Yeah, and with the strength of what it looks like here in the 10 and 9K range, I feel like we might need to be leveraging lineups and really going high up on this scale, because there's a lot of guys that I can see winning this tournament really high up in these pricing. I'm going to dissect this 10K and above, and I want you to fire back at me when I get done. Xander is probably the most well-known player here on, as far as having success here, tons of success here over the years. Back-to-back top fives in the last couple of years. Excuse me. But, I mean, is he completely healthy? That's one thing I'd be worried about. I would say this, that if you follow along with the Xander topic that, you know, he has a lot more success on the tougher golf courses. This one falls into that storyline, but I'm definitely not putting him first on this group just because of the rumors of maybe the injury's not 100%. Rumors only, by the way. Tony Finau, we gotta love him up here. Pricing's pretty high. He's had he's had several wins here recently. In the last 5 years, though, we have a second place, a did not play, and 2 missed cuts. So Joe, I gotta X him out right up here, especially being at the price. He has no value. Roy McIlroy, to tie for 13th in 2001, coming off the victory in the DP World Tour. The one thing I'll say about Rory that kind of makes me not love him this week from just a feeling standpoint is that we don't see Rory winning bunches. We kind of see him, you know, gets up for a big tournament and then kind of goes away. Then gets up for a big tournament and goes away. Gets up for a tournament and goes away. So I'm kind of fading him on that. But the other two guys, Joe, John Rahm is he's on warp speed right now. And Scotty Scheffler, we're never going to count him out on a golf course that suits his game, which it's hard to find a golf course that don't suit his game. But I listened to the John Rahm interview this week on Foreplay, and I officially turned the page. You're looking at a John Rahm fam, 100%, Joe. John Rahm for life here now. Scotty Scheffler, love his game. You gave him $700 cheaper. The other three guys I'm staying away from just for those reasons I just told you. So fire back at me, buddy.
Yeah, man, it's it's tough to cross a guy like Tony off your list. Tough to cross a Rory off your list. But I know kind of the mindset you're coming from, man, and I agree with it. I don't know that I necessarily agree with those players, but I do think you have to make some tough decisions this week, and that starts at the top. I mean, we can't play everybody, so you know, even though this is a really intriguing top of the board this week, guys, we probably like to play all of them if we could, but we can't do that. My favorite's probably John Rahm, just because I've been there all year. He's an Arizona State guy, finished tied for 5th in this event as an amateur while he was at Arizona State. Lives in Scottsdale, plays this golf course a lot. We know that he'd be motivated to win this event, and he's played really well. Hadn't been able to raise a trophy in this event, but 3 top 10s in his last 4 starts in Phoenix. So, and we know what type of form he has. Had a really good chance to win the Farmers. Things didn't work out in that final round, but I think that steam would still be there if that one final round tour goes a little bit different. So let's not forget how well John Rahm's played this year. I love him. And my second favorite, as you mentioned, is probably Xander. I'm not concerned about the injury. I think he's okay. He's looked good since Hawaii. And he's been a beast here, man. Should have won the golf tournament in 2021, ended up finished tied for 2nd, kind of gave that one away, didn't play well that Sunday, and then made a charge, narrowly missed a playoff last year, T3. So I love Xander's course history. As you mentioned, man, this course is right down his alley when we talk about kind of the difficulty of it, historically what the winning score is. Over the last 5 years, I think it's around, you're looking at around 17 under, 17.4 under is the average winning score here this event the last 5 years. And that's right in line with kind of tournaments that Xander thrives in. Across his 7 career victories, the average winning score has been 16.85 under par. This is just the type of tournament that Xander wins, and just kind of his sweet spot. So up at the top, circling Rahm, circling Xander, but definitely like the other guys as well. They're top flight players.
Yes. If you're looking at ownership numbers, definitely you don't want to study that because you might be able to spot a diamond in the rough here just based on ownership numbers, expectations. So moving on to 9K range, and this top of this range is really just blows me away. Joe, Max Homa, JT, Colin Montgomery, done it again, Colin Morikawa, Patrick Cantlay, Hideki, Victor Hovland, Sun JM, Tony Kim, Tom Kim, and Matthew Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick definitely was not himself last week, and then he, kind of blew up in that win situation. But my favorite player in the field is easily Justin Thomas at 9,800. I'm afraid everybody's favorite player is going to be Justin Thomas. Hopefully they get blinded by the top of the salary scale. But Max Homa, he hasn't had a ton of success here, but I don't see how this course don't fit him, Joe. Who you like in this range?
Every course fits Max Homa right now, AP. Guy's on fire. He's a Cali boy, but he's living in Arizona. So a lot to like about him this week. But, yeah, man, I love JT. I don't know where the ownership's going to shake out. But I kind of feel like maybe people are played great this year. Two T25s in his two starts. So he's had some issues off the tee that he'll need to straighten out. But he looked good at Torrey other than off the tee. So I think he can come around here. This is an event that he really, really likes. Couple of T3s and a T8 over his last four starts here. So I expect big things from JT this week. Cantlay, as you mentioned, lost in the playoff last year to Scheffler. He's one of those guys whose games just travel. We've seen him play really well in kind of these desert settings. And Hideki Matsuyama, man, let's toss him out there. He's like the OG course history horse. Won this event a couple times. He's been a beast throughout his career in Phoenix. That's tailed off a little bit over the last few years, but let's not forget what Hideki's capable of on this golf course. And Tom Kim, it's tough to go against a young man playing so well. Sung Jae's always so consistent, but you know, if I'm circling a player in the 9K range, JT's my favorite.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm afraid that he's going to be like 38%, but maybe not with these. There's so many good players in this field, you know. Maybe these people will be plucking from the middle of the price range, and that'll be good for if we want to grab some of these 9K rank. But I mean, why couldn't you start out with Max Homa, JT, and Patrick? You know, I mean, that's pretty solid group there. So interesting to see where the estimation on the ownership is. Moved on to the 8K range, a bunch of people in this this group too. Cameron Young, Jordan Spieth, Sam Burns, The Gala, Tyrrell Hatton, Taylor Montgomery, Shane Lowry, Tommy Fleetwood, and Ricky Fowler. Surprising on the Ricky Fowler 8K, but I'm guessing just because he's had a lot of success here over the years, even though his game does seem kind of like it's coming around a little bit. But it's not all the way there back as he was before. But I don't see the 8K here. But Joe, big ball strikers here. Cam Young, Sam Burns, The Gala. I mean, that seems like it fits this golf course pretty well. Getting Shane Lowry pretty cheap, let's be honest, 8,200. What's your expectation this 8K range?
Yeah, man, it's really, really interesting range. Some great players here. Kind of spotty course history, a little bit of non-existent course history. Some of these guys, you know, they're making their way here because it is the elevated status. So they're teeing it up this week. Maybe it's on the regular rotation for them. You know, Cameron Young played really well, but he played over in Saudi last week. So, you know, there is that travel concern. We've seen guys struggle coming back, making that trip. I think he had a runner-up over there to Abraham Answer. And people didn't even know the tournament existed last week, man. I didn't look at a leaderboard one time. Just kind of got caught up on it Monday. So it's just kind of weird. But some of these guys did tee it up in the Saudi event last week. Cameron Young's one of those guys. A little bit concerning for me. Saw at The Gala, man, had an excellent chance. This was kind of his breakout moment, one of his breakout moments last year. Had a T3. We know kind of how it ended, him pulling that shot into the water late in the event. But he's played really well. He's starting to see some of these courses for the second time around. So I like The Gala at 8,500, even though that price tag's a little bit scary to me. Taylor Montgomery's a tough player to fade, but he's making his course debut here. And I'm with you on Ricky, man. I just can't pay 8K. I love to see him coming around. And he's a former winner here, but I just can't pull the trigger at 8K in this event with this type of field.
I agree. Heavy hitters here. I'm probably when I say heavy hitters, those three, probably still throwing Burns and Young out the window. Number one, Young traveling. Burns with really hasn't seen the Burns seems like to get on a little streak here. He's kind of like what DJ used to be, right? He would build up, get on this little streak and play well for several weeks in a row. We haven't seen any of that yet. So,
He's missed three out of four cuts here on this golf course in this event. So, Burns is a tough one, man. I never seen him get him right, but I don't think I'll be there this week.
Gotcha. Go on the 7K range, the value range, Joe. Too many names to mention. But Corey Connors is slipping back down there to nobody's talking about him again, Joe. I mean, we know he's not a big winner, but I mean, he's got game to play up here with the top of the world here. Siwoo Kim, you would think this golf course would fail. Go well for him. Jason Day is, I like him on this track. Cage Lee, TPC Lee, has had success here, hasn't won, but has success. And then you got guys like Chris Kirk. You got guys like Keith Mitchell. Obviously, I don't see after watching. I watched Sunday all day. I don't know how the guy's in contention every week, how he hits the ball. It's really amazing, actually. And then you got a bunch of other names. Brian Harman's played well. Denny McCarthy had a low round on Sunday. Taylor Pendrith had a low round on Sunday. And then you just got some great golfers here in the 7K range. This is literally like what you said. These guys are in the 8K range in most tournaments. However, like you said, major championship field. And then there's some guys that have kind of snuck in here in the 7K range are just kind of like scratching your head. And then Garrett Kigo, okay, Christian Bisenhut. I just don't understand it in this field. So, Joe, give us a few names here in this range, and I definitely would be putting Jason Day in my repertoire going forward in this event this week.
Okay, so you've got you and Spencer got Day, right?
Yeah. Well, so I'm just saying, we're several hours from Disney, unless his wife score some Super Bowl tickets, I think we're good.
Okay. I like it. Man, there's really a lot to lock in this 7K range. Shaping up to be, kind of an area I'm going to probably camp out this week, AP. Really like lineup construction when the 7Ks are strong, and I definitely feel like it's that way this week. Start out with Keegan Bradley, who's not had any really very many top end finishes here, but he's been a very consistent cut maker in this event over the years. Coming off a really good outing at Torrey a couple weeks ago. So I think, believe it or not, Keegan's actually kind of a safe play this week. Corey Connors, you mentioned, we've seen him in the 8Ks and majors, man. And he's really not played that differently than when he was getting those kind of prices. I mean, he had a coming off a T12 at Sony where he gained 4.4 strokes on approach and 4.7 strokes off the tee. That's supernatural ball striking. Really, really good ball striking numbers there in the Sony Open for Corey Connors. So it's kind of puzzling that he's down here. Three consecutive made cuts in this event. So it's not like he's played bad, had a T17 here in 2021. So off the lock with Corey Connors. To throw a couple names out there, maybe not everybody's talking about, I really like Alex Noren. This is a guy that closed out 2022, played excellent golf, played well at the Houston Open. Then he went over to Europe, had a couple of top five finishes over there to close out 2022 in the Dunhill Links and the DP Tour World Championship. Then he opened up a couple weeks ago with a really nice finish at Abu Dhabi. So I like Alex Noren, who had a T6 here last year. That's a guy that I'm circling. And hoping maybe to get some ownership leverage on the field with. You mentioned Keith Mitchell, love him as well. T10 here last year. He's striking the ball beautifully. Then JT Poston at 7,300. Four straight made cuts in Phoenix. We know he's just a really streaky player, and he's on a heater right now. The ball striking's been looking good, and that's what we always want to look for from him. It can get nuclear hot with the putter. So as long as the ball striking's clicking, this course is a good fit for JT Post, and I like him at 7,300.
Well, 6,000 range, Joe. I don't love a ton of players here. I mean, I like a few, but I don't love them in this with the strength of this field. However, with the so many good players being in the 9 and 10K range, we're going to have to dive down in here and snag up a few. And so with saying that, is there anybody that you're highlighting for me to look at? Go ahead.
There are options. Are more Scotty Stallings. Some great
players. Great players down here just doesn't excite me with this strength of field.
Yeah. There's some solid options this week. Our boy Scotty Stallings played really well at Pebble. He's got a couple top 25s on his resume in this event, just in the last 5 years. We know he's a great iron player when he gets it going. I think he's got some confidence coming off a good finish at Pebble. Russell Knox is a guy that I was on last year. Played solid, and I don't mind kind of riding the wave. He's played really good in this event, man. T10 here back in 2019, T16 in 2020. Made four straight cuts in Phoenix. So Russell Knox at a sub 7K price tag. This is where we like to kind of take a flyer on him. Sam Ryder, man, made four straight cuts here. We know he had that kind of now infamous hole-in-one at 16 last year where all the fans went nuts. So that was a really cool moment. He ended up with a top 25 last year, and he's made four straight cuts in this event. We know how well he played at Torrey. So you might want to kind of try to ride the wave there with Sam Ryder. And then as you go on down, man, just a lot of guys that we like, a lot of names we know, a lot of playable golfers down here. This feels really deep, and it's reflected in the 6K range. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of options down here. Matthew Neesmith's a guy we talked about a lot last week. He had a T7 here a couple years ago. Steven Yeager has played really, really well this year. Lanto Griffin working his way back from injury. So, you know, there's some guys that you can certainly pull the trigger on down here. Brandon Wu, 6,400, coming off a great week at Pebble. His confidence has to be riding high. So, you know, this is a week where I'll be in the 6K range quite a bit, AP.
I got you, Joe. Yeah, like I said, we'll have to dip down in here. I just love a lot. Most of the players in the above pricing out, honestly. You know, what's strange enough is Ryan Palmer's had success on a lot of golf courses, and those numbers have been popping early because he usually plays pretty well on the West Coast. But this year has just not been the case. And so I'm kind of watching him to see if maybe he just had a down year going through some changes or whatnot. So, Joe, that just kind of comes here to the end or towards the end of the podcast, and we have a special thing we like to call Hearts and Darts. And where are you at this week on your dart play of the week, Joe? Who's your black horse?
Man, that I'll be playing in the sixes, be dipping down the 6K range, AP, but really love this 7K range, man. So there's a lot of guys that I really like. I'll say JT Poston. 7,300, like Alex Norn as well, but as far as the cheaper player at 73, I'll go JT Poston as my dart play. What about you, man? Who are you gambling on this week down here in the lower
range? Well, I mean, I you know, if I glaze over the sevens because there's so much I like in the sevens, if I dip down the sixes, a guy that was on last week and probably have to at least dabble because he plays good in bunches, and that's when Bo Hostler kind of keeps it together. He's pretty, I mean, he's got major championship game at times. It's just at times he has mini tour game. Last week he played extremely well, extremely patient, and I mean, what, like maybe top 10? Maybe top five. I don't even know. He's way up there, top eight, something like that. So I think top 10. I think he finished 10th for some reason. But, you know, I'm probably dipping down him. Probably going to get a pretty decent price on him on the top 40, which is if you're getting better than 50% odds, it's probably pretty good, pretty good place to go. I like Scott this week. And honestly, I kind of if Mackenzie Hughes, it makes sense on this golf course anyway, you know, driving and putting, you know, iron play. I mean, like you said, there's nothing really that stands out, and that is what stands out, that nothing stands out. Because you have guys that hit the ball far seem to play well here, but also guys that hit it accurate. And
two years ago, we had Webb Simpson and Tony Finau in a playoff, man. And it doesn't get any more kind of polar opposites than those two. So that's a pretty good summary of what we can look for this week, which is, you know, I don't know that there's a stat, that one stat that you can circle that gets you there, man. When we've seen such diverse types of players play well on this golf course.
Yeah, and I really don't know who's going to win, though. That's probably my biggest – probably, honestly, I think it's going to be a heavy hitting Sunday, man. We're going to have studs in there on Sunday. I'm talking like – we have a chance here to have like four guys in the top 10 in the world in the last couple of groups, and I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it'd be, I mean,
if that's the case, you know, anybody can win. But
I tell you what, man, watching Justin Rose last week, that leaderboard was so bunched up. It's really nice to have that. It's really nice to have that winning experience on Sunday. You know, you want guys in your lineup. At the end of the day, man, it's nice to have a guy in there that's familiar with winning, that knows how to close out golf tournaments, that's been there before. I mean, yeah, anybody can win this event, but I mean, this is a stack field, man. It's almost going to be hard for it not to be a great group of guys fighting this thing out come Sunday, and that was the goal. You know, that's what the PGA Tour wanted. When they decided to do these designated events, they wanted to get the best players in the world together. It just wasn't happening enough. So it's, you know, it's a great field. I'm really looking forward to this tournament, man. I think it's going to be a really good weekend.
So with you saying that, I would say that, you know, going into this, I really liked Colin and Justin. Just based on odds, that's who I was like kind of leaning towards, that we were going to get them, you know, maybe – possibly in the 20 plus to one range, but I got a tickle in my throat. But what you're saying, like, literally they're going to stand up there and close this round out, right? Close this tournament out, and you're going to have, you know, two or three of the best players in the world breathing down your neck. So you can get JT at 22 to 1, Colin Morikawa. Really, the best you're going to get him is at 18 to 1. That's pretty sick. But if you're looking at, you know, four to six of the top players in the world in the last few groups coming down on Sunday on the back nine, I mean, it's got to be Scheffler or Rahm, right? And that's it. If we go just on past history, recency bias, I feel like that's who it is. I know John Rahm. And our boy Nagels is going to hate this, but John Rahm's got pretty good head on there, and I know he's not won a ton of events, but it seems like whenever he's fiery, he's tough to beat. So I'm talking myself into Scotty Scheffler all of a sudden out of nowhere. So I'm Scotty Scheffler now. Scotty Scheffler's my heart play of the week.
Tough to argue with, man. I mean, it's this entire top of the board. It's just, you know, you don't want to go against any of these guys, and it's tough to argue with any of them. So it kind of comes down to preference and kind of who you think is going to be able to get the job done. You know, I do feel like John Rahm's a pretty prolific winner. Got 9 wins on the PGA Tour, not counting multiple European Tour wins. I think 8 or 9 over there, whatever. So, we've seen him kind of hanging around all year, closed the door a couple times already. Wasn't able to get it done at Torrey, but I'm going to stick on the John Rahm train, man. I feel like I'm just kind of keep on saying his name, but it's working so far. So okay. I'll grow him.
If you'd have rode the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady train, you'd have been okay too, Joe.
Hey man, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Whatever's making money is what, it's an okay thing to go with.
That's right. That's right. Joe, thanks for again coming on. Thanks for everybody listening. If you like what you hear, like, subscribe and share. Excuse me. We're on YouTube. We're on Twitch, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. You name it, we're there. Also, check out rotoballer.com for premium content on any sport, but we specialize in golf. Use promo code TURN when signing up for the premium package. You get a discount. Once again, that's Joe Nicely. I'm Andrew Putters. Waste Management Phoenix Open coming at you. This is the Turn Golf Podcast powered by rotoballer.com. See you later, Joe. Already hit three in the lake. It's gone.